Ill Farms means so much to me because I'm carrying on my legacy. The Miller name, I'm growing it, just something that my kids can actually grow into and decide what they want to do with it. Whether they want to continue growing vegetables, whether they want to turn into something even larger.
Georgia is a wonderful place to take root. And on small farms, those roots can stretch out to the whole community. Here in Georgia, there are about 40,000 farms, and today we will visit one of those farms whose roots go deep. I came from the mud, there's dirt on my hands. Strong like a tree, there's roots where I stand. I'm David Zelsky, and this is the Fork in the Road podcast, presented by Georgia Grown and the fine folks at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Each episode, we feature stories from Georgia's farmers, fishermen, merchants, artisans, chefs, and others who help provide Georgia-grown products to folks in the Peach State and beyond. Today, we are in Salem, Georgia, a town of less than 400 people, about 40 miles west of Macon on Highway 80.
I'm Kenesha Miller, and this is Eon Farms, and I'm the owner.
Kenesha has a knack for this whole farming thing, but she's not the first Miller to farm in this Georgia soil.
Eon Farms is located directly next to my grandmother's house. So this area was actually farmed by my grandfather and my dad. And my dad allowed me to use this land that he previously used to utilize it to what I want to grow and what I want to do with Eon Farms. But they also farmed a lot of acreage in Salem, which would be like 100 and something acres right up the road. It's called the Miller Farm, and that's where they farm livestock still to this day.
And the name E.M. Farms has a family connection, too.
Okay, so actually E.M. Farms is named after my grandmother. Her name was Emma Maul Miller, so I decided to name it after her because she's the best cook ever in the world. So I wanted to name it after her because I grew fresh fruits and vegetables. And my granddaddy Pig, he was a farmer, and he farmed a lot of acres in the Salem community.
I was reading about Pig. Now, I saw... did farmed a lot of things, but not pigs.
Yes. So he farmed all vegetables. But he did have some livestock, but it was cattle.
With a name like Pig, Kenesha's grandfather must have really known his way around the farm. Kenesha herself wasn't raised in the farming tradition, but rediscovered it later in life.
I didn't think I was going to be a farmer at all. Although I did go to Fort Belvoir State University for agriculture economics, I received my degree, but I did not think I would be actually farming my own business. Growing up, I mostly did four-wheeler riding, things like that outside, but not actual farming because my father didn't farm. He's an electrician.
When Kenesha was growing up, this land was no longer being farmed by her family, but she saw the potential to bring it back to its former glory.
It actually wasn't a farm at all. It was just some land to the side, and I never actually noticed it. I remember growing up, we used to play like football to the side, but then I said, hey, are y'all doing anything with it? And I said, no, you can do whatever you want. So I just decided to do it. I initially thought I wanted to do a food truck, and I was thinking, how can I cut the cost? So I said, I just grow my own collards to do it. And then once I grow my own collards, I just didn't stop. I didn't go back to the food, but now I'm kind of going back into it with value added. And I think it's the best thing. Really, I always tell people, the way you find your gift is just by trying things. And then God just reveals it to you, like what you really should be doing.
It wasn't always smooth sailing, not at first, but Kenesha had her family to pass along crucial farming knowledge and lend plenty of helping hands along the way.
So when I first started, I read my books, I applied what I used in college, and it brought me to a certain stance, and I was thinking, why isn't this working? My dad stepped in and said, hey, me, we've been doing this forever. I know how to do this. You got to chop around. You got to cultivate it. I was like, okay, yeah. So he came out here, helped me cultivate it. My mom, I have some neighbors, which are probably my aunties and uncles. I'm really related to everyone around here. And they helped me come out for free, just came out and just helped me because they see me working so hard and they see me where I want to go with Eon Farms.
On top of the trials of the farm, Kenesha tackles an even more difficult job, raising two twin boys.
Yeah, tell me about running this farm. You're young, younger than me. running this farm, having the twins. You know what it's been like for you.
It actually hasn't been as hard as I thought it was. When I initially became pregnant in 2020, the end of 2020, I thought I was actually a little worry. I said, well, maybe I can't do it on farms. And it was kind of made me sad because I really loved on the farm because I had two kids coming, not one. But then I decided, okay, this is what I want to do. But you have to make sacrifices. I had to take a 2-year break. So this is my first year back, and it has been amazing. I have a great support system. Their dad, my grandparents, his grandparents, just people to help me when I want to come to the farm.
The farmer's life may not have been Kenesha's original plan, but she's sure glad it worked out the way it did.
Why is this farm so important to you, and what do you think it means to the community?
Man, Eel Farms means so much to me because I'm carrying on my legacy. The Miller name, I'm growing it, just something that my kids can actually grow into and decide what they want to do with it. Whether they want to continue growing vegetables, whether they want to turn into something even larger.
In a small town like Salem, a place like EM Farms means a lot. It's a story of one family coming together to build something beautiful for the whole community.
I really love where I came from. This Salem community is probably made up of about 5 or 6 different families. I'm probably related to about 3 of them, 4 of them. And this is just a family, everything is family value. Like for instance, my uncle is a landscaper, so he cuts my grass at the farm. I have my sister working one of my markets in Perry. I have another cousin, she's running my market, and another on Wednesdays. So everyone just helping me. My dad, I can't even put a title on what everything my dad helped me with, just everything. My mom, I mean, everybody has been there for me.
Tell me about the crops you have growing here.
I have a variety of pretty much everything. So I have kale, I have squash, banana peppers, jalapeno peppers, scubnums, watermelon, eggplants, just whatever I feel I'm in the mood for, what I think the customers will like, I bring that out. And also things that I think they might not like, because I like to be creative. I like to try it and try to see if I can get them to use it. That's how I had to do with kale. At first, no one around here was dealing with kale. Just like, And I said, you know, just get some for free. So I give them some for free, and they'll come back. I said, oh, I love that kale. And they just keep getting.
Okay, fun fact. Pizza Hut was the largest buyer of kale in the U.S. until around 2013. They used it to decorate around the salad bar and cover up the ice that kept the salad ingredients cold. You remember that? I don't really have many places to drop that kind of trivia, so you got it right here. Anyway, kale isn't the only produce Kenesha has tried to introduce into the diet of customers.
Tell me about these eggplants.
The eggplants. These are the first year I grew eggplants. And I love them. A lot of my customers have been getting them because at first, a lot of people don't know how to cook them. So I kind of go on my Facebook page and kind of show people how I cook them. But you can saute them, you can fry them and use them. I like lasagna, eggplant parmesan, things like that. So just showing people how to use some of the things that we grow instead of eating. Because most people eat the same 3-4 things, if you really think about it.
What made you want to do eggplant this year?
I was just curious, like, what all can I do? How can I make this? I really think of anything that's very odd. Not odd, but anything people usually don't buy at a store or just buy all the time. I want to grow it. So I want to see, can I make people buy it?
And you got tomatoes there.
Yes, I have my habaneros we were just talking about. I have my nice fresh grown tomatoes. We have our watermelon here. And we also have bell pepper, which I grow, and some peas, squash.
So you're going most seasons here, right?
Mostly May through July.
Okay.
That's when the actual market is going on here. But my other markets in the local area, they usually start around March or April.
Kenesha's growing experiments have produced some sweet, sticky, and even spicy results.
These are one of my preserves. It's strawberry preserves. I like to use this on toast. And then I have my peach preserves. I like to use these on nice on biscuits and toast, just any type of thing you like to use your jelly on. And then my favorite is the pepper jelly. It's banana peppers, which I grow, habaneros, which I grow. And then I put my sugars, all the things that make it jelly in there. But it's made out of bell peppers in. I mean, banana peppers and habanero peppers. My pepper jelly started because I grew habaneros and I grew banana peppers, and I didn't know what to do with it besides cook them fresh. So I was like, what can I do? So then I realized, I can make pepper jelly, and that's how I came up with my pepper jelly recipe.
Nice. So you're getting people in the community to try these habaneros?
Yes. I put it on shrimp. First I started, bro. I was like, put on some shrimp. When you grill it, you can even do it fried too. It's amazing. I use it on so many things. So a lot of you can use it on toast. I like to cook meat. So you want to get you some vegetables like some kale and some spinach and saute it, season it regularly. Then about the last 5 minutes, add this pepper jelly on it. The best.
Kenesha puts her habaneros to use in another clever and surprising way. Pest control.
How tough is it? Are there certain predators, certain things you have to fight?
Yes, I think everything. I have to fight the weather. I have to fight deer. Deer is the main culprit. And then you have those rabbits that come and get all my lettuce in the spring.
Oh.
Yes.
Did the rabbits ever get the habaneros?
No, actually, no, nothing gets the habaneros. Anything that's hot, they don't get them. So I'm thinking about like grind it up with water and just spray it on some of my non-hot ones, but then it's gonna, I see.
Hey, you spicy broccoli, I like that.
Yeah, I have to think of something creative.
Yeah, that's great.
There's one type of jelly offered by EM Farms, which you might not be so used to seeing.
Government jelly, that is a country preserve. I love it.
Ah, the scuppernong. As fun to say as it is delicious. Scuppernongs are a large variety of muscadine grape native to the American South, and their roots go way back. Roanoke Island, North Carolina is home to the mother vine, a 400-year-old scuppernong grapevine thought to be the oldest in the world. A while back, scuppernongs were introduced to this farm by a family member, and they've been growing steadily ever since.
So the scuppernongs, actually, I didn't plant these here. Someone planted these for my grandmother a while back, maybe 10 to 15 years ago. And his name was Chick. So Chick helps a lot on the farm still. But he just randomly planted it out here for my grandma. He's our cousin. And they have been growing ever since. All I do is maintain them. I prune them back in the wintertime, and then they just show up around August fully ripe.
They're a little harder and probably a little sweeter.
Yeah, they're a little harder, but around the end of August, September, they're going to get more clear. So right now it's a dark green. It's going to be more of a light green.
They're pretty.
They are. They're really good this year.
So these are old vines, so they just...
Yeah, they keep coming back. Just keep coming back. As long as you take care of them, just prune them. You don't have to irrigate them a lot because they're going to get their own water because they have deep roots. But yeah, scuppernong is one of the easy things to grow.
Scuppernongs are as versatile as any grape. They can be used for juice, wine, or in this case, jelly.
Well, I put it on homemade biscuits. I don't put that on toast because you don't really have to. Like, when you put it on that biscuit, it's like, oh my goodness, I'm back at my grandma's house. It's amazing.
You make good biscuits too?
Yes, I do. I can cook really well. I can.
If you've still got a sweet tooth, the EM Farms website even has some more decadent offerings, courtesy of Kenesha's mother.
And also we have homemade cakes, which you can see on our website. But my mom makes the homemade cakes. I don't bake. I have to let everybody know I do not bake. But
are those blueberries in there?
Yes, this is lemon blueberry pound cake.
Okay.
But her specialty is key lime cake.
Key lime cake? Yum. Okay, back to produce. This next item is a subject of much controversy. But I'll say it here. Once and for all, no meal is truly complete without a heaping helping of Brussels sprouts. I promise I'm not being paid to tell you that. I actually love Brussels sprouts. Have it with, you know, balsamic vinaigrette, fried goat cheese. It's actually really good. You got to try it.
These are Brussels sprout leaves. These are the Brussels sprout plant. But what people don't know is you can eat the leaves off of Brussels sprouts. The Brussels sprout bulbs, they have actually just came up. So it takes a long time for them to come up. So if it's your actual plant, you don't have to sit there and wait for them to come up. Just go ahead and take some of these leaves and cook them like the Brussels sprouts.
I never knew that about the leaves.
They're just like Brussels sprouts, so they're like not tender, they're harder.
Yeah.
So I would cook them hard. I cook them in a cast iron skillet
instead
of in the oven because I think they'll get too brittle. I like to put a little bacon in it, a little seasoned, regular like seasoning salt, and then you also put like some vinaigrette dressing on it once you get done and put it in the oven.
Seeing all these beautiful vegetables has given me a powerful thirst.
Let's go to the juices here.
All right.
It's the fun stuff.
Whatever your ailment or flavor preference, Kenesha's got a juice for it all.
And I see each of them help with something. I see immunity.
With the green greatness, this helps with gut health. And this is green apple, kale, pineapple, and a little bit of ginger. Everyone loves this. So you want to make sure you're going to be very regular. So it helps with your skin. It just helps with your overall digestive system. The fan favorite, Purple Passion. Okay, so this is beet juice. It is beets, pineapple, blackberry, ginger, and a little bit of blackberry. So this is for energy and digestion. So what I do is I drink this early in the morning, and you're going to see a change. You may not need coffee that morning. You may not need that midday nap. It just really helps with just overall energy. And then we have my favorite, the mango ginger. It's mangoes, pineapple, and a little bit of ginger. And what this is, it helps with the immune system. This is what I was helping with my boys. It helps them with not getting sick so much in daycare with my twins. It's just amazing taste. I love it. This is my favorite.
Nice. It has that little kick of ginger that everybody likes, right?
Yes, a little bit. Not too high. Then we have our carrot juice. I'm introducing this. I haven't decided on my exact recipe yet, but this carrot juice, it helps with your skin improvement.
Okay. Carrots, they help with eyes too? I've always heard that.
All right. Eyes.
And I think it's neat how these juices have, like you said earlier, these juices have helped your kids' immunity. They've almost been the test subjects.
I hate that I use my kids as a test subject, but hey, they needed it and it actually helped them.
Yes, Kanisha's kids have really enjoyed the fruits of all her labor, and so has the whole community. The high tunnels of EM Farms can be rented for private events for a fun party experience unlike any other.
What I do is this thing called EM to Table. It's a play on farm to table. So people can rent out this high tunnel and they can do it for birthday events, family reunions, just anything they want. I had a friend that had a 30th birthday party here. I had someone that did a 56-year-old party here. And what I do is I decorate the entire place. How it looks now is going to look nothing like that. So I bring out the tables. I decorate exactly what's their theme.
Guests can even have these events catered by a local chef who takes special care to incorporate ingredients grown right here on the farm. You understand? So you're at the place, you see it out there growing, picks it, puts it directly into your meal.
I have a chef come in from Forsyth. Her name is Chelsea, but the name of her restaurant is Her Majesty Kitchen. And whatever their menu is, she has a choice of different things that they would want. And what I do is we incorporate what I'm growing on the farm at that time into the menu. So for instance, one time she had this fried chicken with a pepper jelly glaze on it. It was so amazing. Then just say she has bread pudding. She'll get the mint out the garden and garnish it with my mint. It's just amazing. You have to check her out.
Nice, nice.
And for a bone chilling experience you'll never forget, visit EM Farms during the Halloween season.
Every year I do a haunted forest, kind of like a haunted house on the farm. And what we do is we take tickets in the high tunnel and then we'll go around back and what we call a holding pen. So the holding pen is what everyone is in line for. And it's so much fun because I get to see everyone costume. People come out and they really dress up whatever costume they're wearing. I try to guess it and they tell me about it. And we go through the trail and I have people come and volunteer to be monsters. And it's just a whole thing. We have chainsaws going. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. And we had a big crowd the last time I did it. We had about 300 people. It was a good crowd.
300 people and a bunch of chainsaws.
Yes. Best a bunch of monsters.
Sounds a little too scary for me, but you do you. There's a bright future ahead for this cute little farm in the charming town of Salem. And with an innovator like Kanisha Miller at the helm, there's no telling where it will go.
I see EM Farms as a prominent market in Georgia, not just the Salem community, not just middle Georgia. I plan to have me a couple of different markets around Georgia, but definitely juice. So maybe a mobile food, maybe a mobile juice bar, or I got some things up my sleeve. I don't want to say exactly what.
Yeah, you don't have to give up all your secrets, all your ideas. You don't want to. You seem pretty motivated, though. I don't know if anyone will jump ahead.
Definitely.
Yeah.
For more stories like this one, you can watch A Fork in the Road on GPB TV or anytime on the GPB.org website. That's where you'll also be able to listen to and subscribe to this podcast or download it on your favorite podcast platform. I'm David Zelsky. Thanks for listening to A Fork in the Road.